Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Honey wax, melt it down, make your heart molten, somehow turn the field to stone, to mine.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes, and joining me today...
Colleen, God Empress of Everything.
Dale from DigitalDoodles.com.
Fabulous. Goddess Empress of Everything. I like it. Although I thought I was the God of Everything.
Yeah, you can be a seconder. You can be a demigod.
A demigod.
I'll allow that.
I am a acolyte of ukulele.
Nice.
Demigod of ukulele, Dale.
No, acolyte right now. Or whatever. Is it whatever the, you know, starting off plebe...
Stooge?
Kind of starting point is, yeah.
I thought that your rendition of Wipeout was very good. And I kind of kicked
that
myself...
That was the single best Wipeout I've ever heard on ukulele.
I'm actually kicking myself that I didn't record it so we could use it as the opening music for this week's
nice.
Episode.
Maybe we can get an encore.
Perhaps.
Encore.
Okay, we'll come back to it. Thanks very much for tuning in today. We are going to be talking about some movies, particularly what's coming up in September.
Blushing? I feel a little red. I don't know.
You're looking fine.
Little good.
I'm looking fine. But we are going to be talking movies, primarily the September preview. So be sure to come on by Row3.com, check out the show notes, which are basically links to the trailers if you haven't seen them. And there are quite a few of them. So let's just get started. We'll jump right in with September 7th. And not really the beginning of the month, but recording a little late. And really, there's nothing particularly good opening this week.
Long weekends always carry on in the
they
month
do.
Of previous.
And like a lot of stuff opened on Wednesday. So
yeah.
Would still qualify as August.
There you go.
So September 7th, we're going to kick the month off with The Words. This is a new film starring Bradley Cooper, who I once hated and now don't hate so much anymore. He's a writer trying to make a name for himself, not going so well. He finds a manuscript, publishes it as his own work. And then, you know, things happen. Like the person that actually wrote the script comes out of the woodwork.
I got nothing from this trailer.
Totally not interested.
Just blah, really? Yeah.
I actually am really looking forward to this.
All right, then.
Yeah. I'm really surprised. Like, I really once thought Bradley Cooper was sort of gross and yucky, and I don't hate him anymore.
You found forgiveness.
Yeah, I really...
Like my forgiveness for Kevin Costner.
Sure. All yeah, right. I really liked Limitless, and so I'm willing to give him a bit of a shot now.
Okay.
And this certainly looks good. He has another one coming out that's... Whenever I sort of confused them for a while because they looked kind of familiar. The
Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton,
the Silver Linings Playbook, which is also I think about a writer, but whatever. I think this looks pretty good.
Yeah, it did nothing for me.
Yeah,
afraid. Just sat there and went, why?
I mean, I have no idea whether the people that might like this kind of story will like the movie or not. But the story just did not.
Appeal to you?
Appeal to me, no.
Okay, well then, moving on. Fine, we'll move on to Henry Cavill in The Cold Light of Day, which I'm just not sure what to make about. It comes from the director of JCVD. Remember the awesomeness that was JCVD?
JCV, is it JC?
What? VD.
Thank you. Was awesome, yes.
I'm not sure if this will be anywhere near as awesome, but it does star Henry Cavill, so I'm definitely game. Bruce Willis and Sigourney Weaver certainly don't hurt matters any.
Another one that just did not.
Really?
Oh, so we should tell people. Should we tell people the story? Or?
Well, I'm not. It's
he's, a spy story.
It is a spy story. He goes to Europe to visit his family, and they get kidnapped, and then it turns out that his dad was a spy.
Who has something that people want.
So now he has to get the suitcase or briefcase or whatever it is. I don't know. It seems pretty sort of standard run-of-the-mill spy thriller chase action thing. But Henry Cavill is enough of a sell for me.
I was kind of interested in when, like, the family goes missing, he wakes up and, like, where the hell is everyone kind of thing. That kind of thing I always kind of like. But once it got into the where's the briefcase kind of thing, it just kind of...
But it's fucking Superman.
Whatever. Oh, it was also Jesus Christ, wasn't he? Another kind of Superman.
No, he wasn't.
Wasn't
Jesus.
He?
No, no.
Oh, no, that was the Oh, what the hell is his name? Never mind.
I know who you're talking about. That was Jesus.
Just recognize the name. I'm like, Quebec.
Yeah, the trailer... Yeah. I mean, normally I'm up for these kinds of movies, but...
Another one just, that was sort of a dud?
The style has just been so done that I was bored with it as soon as I saw it. So if it did the movie a disservice, then, you know, maybe...
If it was,
it'll come along as a pleasant surprise later, but...
Yeah.
All about finding the mystery of what happened to the rest of the family, I think I'd probably be more interested than, oh, we're holding them for ransom, get us the
briefcase, yeah.
And
yeah.
Now it's just whatever.
It was almost like, yeah, I know. I don't want to say anymore, because it's just the trailer, and who the hell, I haven't read anything else on it.
Make judgments, man.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're here for.
Book by the cover, man. Oh,
well, there you go. Book by the cover. It's like this trailer looks like every other trailer of this kind that I've seen. It's a story about an amateur who's really good at something, but the trailer didn't sell it to me.
Yeah.
He really seemed so reactionary through the whole trailer. And God damn it, I want my heroes to like... take life by the balls and do something.
Yeah.
And he just was like lost in sea, even later on when you were expecting to see.
I agree. No, I think the trailer is not very good. The only reason I'll see it is one, the director, I kind of like JCVD. It was a lot of fun. And it's Henry Cavill. He was the seller from like the beginning. I'll pretty much watch anything he's in, regardless if it's direct to video or direct for TV. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I respect that.
Doesn't matter. Also opening September 7th, Bachelorette. Already on video on demand, so a few people have already seen this. Starring Kristen Dunst, Isla Fisher, Lizzie Kaplan, and James Marsden. About a group of women that throw a bachelorette party that goes seriously, seriously wrong. So it's kind of like the other one, Bridesmaids.
Is this genre done yet?
No.
Fuck.
Apparently not. And actually, this stars one of the actresses. I think it's... Well, her name isn't even listed here, and I don't have a computer in front of me. But one of the actresses that's in this is actually... This is like her third wedding movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. She was in... she was the crazy roommate in Bridesmaids. I don't know if you saw Bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the blonde hair, the British one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in this as well. And oh, this boy. Is her third one. Because there's another Australian one that she was in, too. I actually saw this. I didn't think it was funny, but then I didn't think Bridesmaids was funny either. So take that for what you will.
Yeah. I don't get it. But that said, I never got any of the movies that focused it on weddings either, so...
When I saw the cast, I was like rooting for it. When I saw the trailer, those situations aren't inherently funny to me. So the humor didn't go anywhere.
I just didn't think it was that funny. Yeah. I mean, Lizzie Kaplan is really good.
That kind of shows in the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, she was the selling point, and Kristen Dunst isn't bad. It's just the thing. It just didn't work for me. This type of comedy just doesn't make me laugh.
Yeah,
Bridesmaids has had its moments. This has its moments, but overall, I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah,
but it is written and directed by a woman, so that has something going for it. And I think it's based on a very successful stage play as well. But it doesn't really help the movie any, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go.
Okay, moving on. Also opening on September 7th, Hello, I Must Be Going. Why can't I remember what this is about?
I can't either.
Oh,
this is not good.
I know I watched it.
I can. I'm reading the description, though.
Okay, go for it.
A woman who is kind of down in the dumps and gone back to her mother's place.
Yes, 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 yes.
Starts a relationship with a 19-year-old.
Yes, yes. I do remember this now. I can't believe I totally forgot that. Because I really like Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah.
I've seen her in a couple of things, and I looked her up, and I'm like, well, I've seen you here and there.
She's psycho girlfriend from... Two and a Half Men.
Okay, see, I don't watch Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
But I mean, among other things, she's yeah. had bit roles in other movies.
Because her face looks familiar, and I thought, oh, I really like her. I want to see this. And it stars also Christopher Abbott. He's the 19-year-old guy. Yeah. He's in Girls, for anybody that watches Lena Dunham's show.
I'm actually interested in this
Yeah,
one.
Me too.
I was sold on it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the trailer is quite good, even though I couldn't remember from the title what the movie was about. So maybe the title isn't good.
The title makes no sense at all, but...
No, but the I agree. I think the trailer looks pretty good. I would watch this. No problem.
Not me.
Not for you.
I'll pass.
She's passing on a lot this month, I think.
I don't blame her. It's not a very inspiring month for me.
Yeah, this month...
You know my taste in things, and you look at the listings. Yeah, it's not
Not a whole healthy. Lot. It's true. Moving on, also opening September 7th, the In-Betweeners movie. I'm not quite sure why we're getting this in the U.S., but apparently somebody wants to see it.
Like a year late.
A year late, yeah.
Yeah, this was a huge show in England.
Yeah.
And just basically about dweebish sort of kids that don't fit in particularly well forming their own little unit. This is the end of it. Like, instead of having the like
yeah, season finale, it was
finale,
a TV series.
It was a movie.
So they did sort of like X-Files.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it apparently is just huge in the UK.
It is.
Because I've heard nothing but good things about it, but...
I talked to an expat here, and she was just like, oh, The In-Betweeners is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I'd rather watch The Misfits.
Yeah,
well, I asked her if she knew about Misfits, and she was like, that's when she's like, no, never, but In-Betweeners, if you want a good, teen...
Go figure,
teen angst... Yeah.
Amazing the stuff that crosses over. And I think this is now, apparently I was reading something else that they're doing a MTV take, like an American take on the show.
That doesn't surprise me.
Which never really works out anyways.
No.
When's the last time something that was awesome in Britain really transcribed well here?
When it was remade?
Yeah.
I don't think ever.
And if you say Friends, I'm going to go over the table and just smack you silly.
Actually, was Friends based on a British show?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was successful, but I don't know if it was Sucked any good.
A whole bunch of game shows, right? Because The Million Dollar Question and Idol. And
okay, well, I guess that's about the only thing.
Yeah.
The drama just never really
No,
picks up
I,
here.
I can't think of
comedy
a drama that...
Comedy never succeeds.
No. They don't cross over very well.
Comedy's especially hard.
Americans don't do comedy well in my book. I don't like.
Well, I guess it just depends on what kind of comedy you like, because the British comedy is just very dry. Well, and
Three's Company was based on Man About the House.
Yeah,
but I mean, how long ago was that?
Well, yeah,
I can't think of a recent example.
If we have to go back that far, then they're obviously not doing very successfully. Because when you think about it, a lot of the shows that do cross over don't last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Mars, right?
Yeah,
Life on Mars.
That's the most recent one I was thinking
about. Oh, my
God.
You watch the two side by side. Like, I like the American version, but the end? What the hell? The British one was freaking awesome.
I haven't finished it.
Right.
I haven't
Dude,
finished
British
it.
One
Let's
is
not go there
primo.
Yet. Let's not All go right. there yet. But, I mean, the one that's on now that's apparently doing pretty good is the... now I can't remember what it's called. The one with the ghost and the werewolf. And
Being Human.
Yeah, Being Human. Apparently the American version is not as good, but it's still going into a second or third season or whatever it is. I don't know. But yeah, no, the crossovers don't usually work. But so I was surprised to see this on the list. I'd heard something in regards to the remake of the show, but I didn't realize the movie was coming as well.
Yeah, limited release, I might have maybe understood. But
yeah.
Well, good on them. Hopefully it succeeds.
I agree. Also opening September 7th, Keep the Lights On. This is Ira Sachs's new film, sort of semi-autobiographical, about two men that start a relationship as a one-night stand, and it sort of follows them for the next 10 years as they deal with their own baggage. It's a relationship movie. I don't know.
Again, the trailer just didn't grab me.
It looks good, but relationship films never do anything for me.
I watched Weekend a couple of weekends ago, surprisingly, because it was the two have been sort of put in the same sort of category, because they're both about gay relationships, but they're just your typical, I would say, above average relationship movie. But I don't know. It looks good, but it's not something I'm going to run out to see. It's just not really my cup of tea. Also opening September 7th, Wreck 3.
Okay, you know, wedding dress, chainsaw, you had me there. You don't need to see it. Just show me the still of the wedding dress and a chainsaw, and I want to see it.
That was about the only thing I liked in the trailer.
So this is directed by Paco Plaza, who actually did direct Rec 1 and 2. And I was saying to Colleen on the drive here that the only way to make this any fresher would be to change the situation altogether. The wedding, I think, is kind of smart, and it's an interesting way to still use the video camera angle, but in a different premise.
That's the only thing I don't like about the entire franchise, because I have that hair trigger shooting.
Yeah.
This is a cinema verte style.
It's completely ridiculous.
So this is like a zombie.
Oh, yeah.
The outbreak happens at the...
At the wedding.
At the wedding.
Yeah. So, and like I say, if you're gonna make sequels to a movie that has such a limited... I can't even remember what they did with the second one now that I think about it. I think it was a direct continuation of the end of the first one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to go in and do a third, this is the best way to do it. It's just change the location, change the situation, and go from there. I think it looks like fun.
Yeah.
You can't really ask for anything more. I really enjoy that franchise.
I probably won't see it in the theater just because the motion sickness thing. Yeah, I need to be able to stop it and walk away. But I'm looking forward to
it. Looks badass. Okay, September the 14th, The Master.
Philip, baby.
That's right.
How I love my Seymour.
P.T. Anderson is back. Like years since There Will Be Blood. I can't believe that dates back to like 5 years ago. I looked at him like, when was the last time we saw that? It's like, holy shit, that was a long time ago. He's back. Joaquin Phoenix plays this young man who is sort of looking for himself, ends up lining up with Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's starting a cult. In not so many words. I saw one trailer. I refused to see anything else because I'll just watch it regardless. I think it looks great.
You know, the performances looked really compelling, but the story was not taking me anywhere. No.
The trailer didn't really do anything for me, but because of my undying respect for Philip Seymour Hoffman, the other Hoff.
It's amazing in that trailer. Like, as soon as he's on screen, it's magnetic. Like he just takes command of the whole thing.
I agree.
I want to watch it for that, and I suspect the movie will be better than what the trailer... I think it was one of those things that the trailer just doesn't do it justice. I'm hoping.
Yeah, because, I mean, even the trailers for There Will Be Blood were good, but they weren't exactly sellers.
No.
It's hard to sell a movie like this, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, what's selling it is...
Without getting really cliche.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the seller is the cast and the director. And the story, to an extent, right? Because, I mean, if the story is no good, then... So, I mean, that right there, you had me. But...
I wonder how many lawsuits were launched with this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's not clear. This was the big deal with this is that there's a couple of 70mm prints that are kicking around. I don't think one will make it up to Canada, but for anybody on the West Coast, it is playing in Seattle at the Cinerama in glorious 70mm.
There was enough 70mm film stock left to...
Apparently.
Wow.
There are small hordes around the
apparently.
Planet.
Apparently. I guess if you're like P.T. Anderson, you can say you want to shoot on 70, and they will find it for you. So if...
Wow.
But yeah, if I have a feeling if it's anything like There Will Be Blood, it will be worth seeing like in glorious 70. But there you go. Also opening September the 14th, Resident Evil Retribution. We are now up to number 5.
And here I thought Extinction was the end.
No. I actually saw an interview recently with Mila Jovovich, and she was saying that... she was saying that if they're successful enough that they get money to make a sixth film, that will be the final. They have a story idea to cap this particular side of the story with her character in the sixth movie.
Okay.
So basically they've left this one open-ended for
a finale. She battles Jason in space.
Fucking that would be awesome. But I think actually if they... Because, I mean, the franchise is fun and they don't come out every year. It's like every 2 years.
Yeah.
It's good entertainment. They look pretty good and they're just good fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason I really like this franchise. It doesn't take itself seriously. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And they're just fun. And if they can continue even like in a different franchise that sort of is just loosely tied into the universe, I'd be totally game for that.
Resident Evil meets Fifth Element.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
And of course the first one slaughtered is Chris Tucker.
That is the only movie I'm okay with him in, so I can't complain because I actually do like his character. Alice is still fighting Umbrella. That's all you really need to know.
That is her life. That is the plot.
Yeah,
that is the plot here. And they've introduced Michelle Rodriguez. Actually, was she in one of the previous ones?
Extinction, I think.
Yeah, one of the early ones.
She was one of the survivors in Vegas.
Okay, there you go. So yes, Resident Evil 5 coming at you September the 14th. I will be there. Thank you, Mila.
Oh, and I don't know what the hell the creature is, the zombified creature, but good God, it's huge and it looks awesome.
Yeah. Like I say, they're just good fun, right?
Not gotta zombie crows this time, not the zombie dogs, it's the zombie behemoth.
The zombie crows were pretty badass. Pretty badass. Being re-released on September the 14th, Finding Nemo.
Why?
Exactly. I liked it the first
time. Money.
Okay. We can't do that again. But that is exactly that.
For not
is
having practice that, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that this is a re-release. Really, I don't know what else to say. It's Finding Nemo.
There you go.
I speak whale. That's the only thing I remember. And the turtles that speak.
I don't honestly think I ever saw.
It's fun.
Nemo.
I like Finding Nemo.
Yeah, there were some good moments in it. No. I just 3D. Okay.
Yeah, that's basically it.
We need money. Let's find something that we can release out.
Yeah, Disney. I didn't realize
Let's
Disney was that desperate.
Lock it away for all time until we need money next time. And
the Disney
years.
Vault is a sin. Should be written out of existence, as far as I'm concerned. I hate the Disney Vault. I want to be able to get my movies whenever I want them. Thank you very much. Also opening September the 14th, Liberal Arts. I had to read. I only saw these trailers on Friday, and half of these I don't remember. Do you believe that?
It doesn't say good
There's
things.
No, it doesn't,
memoir.
Does it? But that said, when I look at them a little bit closer, I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of wanted to see that. So this one is written and directed by Josh Radner, who also stars. He plays, I think he's a student or something, or a teacher, and he goes back to his college for the retirement of his professor, and he falls for a girl who happens to be going to school there. And she's the daughter of an old professor, and things happen. That's all I know.
Big age difference.
That's
not
right.
That big age difference, but
a bit of an age difference. And then also it stars Elizabeth Olsen, last year's sort of golden girl. So I don't know.
The
it was
more talented of the trio.
Apparently, I have seen a couple of things she's been in. And she is pretty good.
Yeah. This one sort of looked interesting. I wasn't quite sold on it, but.
I won't go out of my way to see it, but
yeah,
I'll
exactly.
see it. I'll watch it on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly.
Relationship film at university. No thanks.
Yeah, pretty much. This is one I actually really am looking forward to. September the 14th also brings the return of Richard Gere. I say the return because I know he's been around, but he hasn't really been starring in anything that was
not
worth mention.
Pretty much anything.
No, it's been a number. I think the last thing I remember was Red Corner. And that was a long time ago, and it wasn't
Runaway
very good.
Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
That's even longer.
We won't go there. But, I mean, I like Richard Gere, and this is a very familiar story, but it's one that looks really good, and what a great cast. So he plays a hedge fund manager who is dealing with the sale of his business and perhaps some shady dealings of money missing and family problems and like all shit's
car
going.
Accidents,
yeah, and hookers, it looks like, or something. There's just a lot going on.
No, when
there.
You're his level, you're not with a hooker, you're with an escort.
Oh, my apologies. With the escort.
With the escort.
I thought it was a mistress, but
that's an acceptable parlance too.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't matter.
So,
whatever.
When I saw this, I fear that they're trying to tackle too many things at once.
Agreed.
Because the relationship between him and his daughter, I found really interesting. Like that whole concept of, I have a child who's capable, but I don't recognize her quite for that. And she's grappling with, wow, my dad may have done some really nasty shit, but he's still my dad. And then, you know, you have Sarandon as that counterpoint of, I'm not going to lie for you.
No.
And I, that whole dynamic, if the movie is focused on that, I'm really interested. Some of this other stuff they're throwing in there, like with the car accident and the mistress and some of the, I don't know about that. I mean, if that's just, you know, if they threw it in there to get some interest and it's just background to that relationship study,
I have a feeling
I'm totally in.
I mean, that's how I'm reading it, because okay. It all seems to tie into like that same mystery with the business,
yeah,
and the issues with, you know, you can't go to jail now because the deal won't go through.
And then you have
it all ties in
the big name actor, what's his name, playing the cop,
Tim Roth.
You know, and actually, Tim Roth looks like he's going to give a really good performance too. Mm-hmm. But again, I do not want police procedural.
Heart, Tim Roth?
Yes.
I don't know. The whole thing, I agree. I think it could very easily go off the rails. But I don't know. I'm definitely
I'm really interested. And if it does work, I mean, it looks like it could be just a great movie.
Agreed.
But yeah, like you say, it could kind of...
It could go off the rails very easily. Because, yeah, there's so much going on that just one wrong turn and the whole thing's going up in flames.
Yeah.
I think I'll skip it and reread Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way, which features Mr. Gear's greatest performance.
Totally forgot about that. That's awesome.
That's right. It's all about Buddhism, baby.
I love it. I love it. But I do like Richard Gere. I'm happy to see that he's still making movies, because the last one I saw him in wasn't very good. So here's hoping this one is better. And it actually did play Sundance earlier this year. I didn't make the effort to look for any reviews to see some of the buzz about it. But we'll see how it
let's
goes.
Let's see what Rotten Tomatoes thinks.
Ooh, yes. Please tell us what Rotten Tomatoes thinks.
I can spell, what is it? There it is. Arbitrage. That's the Dale killer word.
Oh, it is a pretty...
Holy crap.
Is it good?
It's got 100% right now.
How many reviews, though?
Four?
Yeah, I'm just looking. Five reviews.
Five.
That's still not bad. It could be a lot worse than that. A lot worse.
But isn't that scale on whether you liked it or didn't like it? It's not like you gave it a percentage.
Oh, they actually have an average.
As it's fresh.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's like kind of fresh.
They have an average rating here, and it was 7.3 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty good. That's pretty solid.
Cool.
Well, I think everything over 60 is considered fresh, and everything under, like 40? 59 and under is rotten.
Really?
Yeah.
They yeah, set something
the bar
like that.
Higher then. Huh.
So usually the most interesting films are the ones that fall between like 40 and 60, because those are the ones that are usually the most contention, right?
Yeah.
But
and it's always interesting when, you know, the audience considers it fresh and the critics don't.
Yeah, and vice versa, because yeah. That happens quite a bit too. Because I was actually looking the other day, I've recently seen a couple of movies that played a bunch of festivals, and you look at the IMDb ratings and like the user reviews are like 5.5, and I really like the movie, and I can never sort of judge by that. But it's a good for a quick sort of overview.
Yeah.
It certainly does its job. Also opening September the 14th, 10 years. This is the new there's a name for this, but I've forgotten what it is. Group of students return for their 10th year reunion. Stars, a whole long line of stars, including Channing Tatum and his wife.
Okay.
Long.
American Pie Reunion?
Dawson,
I'm gonna pull a Colleen here. Gross Point Blank, the only high school reunion movie you ever need to see.
Damn freaking straight. Love that film.
I don't know. Romeo and Michelle, man. Please.
Didn't do it for me.
Oh, you guys are fucking missing out.
Something about what's his face as an assassin going to high school reunion. God damn, that was fine. And plus, it was one of the last films where John Cusack actually looked like basically clean.
Yes.
He's turned into a scrub after that and seems to be struggling to hang on to his scrub-like demeanor.
Yes, it's very, very true. It's really not working in his benefit.
No.
I you know, maybe it's just a sign of like my age, but the trailer and the subjects they were talking about, it's just like I still totally could not relate to this trailer.
I couldn't relate at my 10-year, let alone 20-year.
I just don't care for any of these actors, except for maybe just Long. And I do like Channing Tatum, but this just looks used and old.
The only way they could make it less interesting for me is if Ashton Kutcher was in there.
Oh, yeah. That would
just end it.
Yeah. Anthony Mackie does make an appearance.
Rosario Dawson was...
I do like her. So, I mean, that's the thing. I like some of this cast. In general, the cast is actually pretty good, but I'm still not going to make the effort to see it theatrically. Not happening. Sorry. Wrapping up September the 14th, Stolen. Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Searches for his daughter who's been kidnapped. She's being held in the back of a taxi. He needs to re-steal $10 million in like 12 hours. It looks hilariously awful and awesome at the same time. Directed by Simon West, who also brought us The Expendables earlier this year.
If anyone can pull it off, Mr. Cage can. And it's certainly, if it bombs, it won't hurt him any worse than he's been hurt.
I agree.
What is it about Nicolas Cage's career? There's so much crap there. And then he does something absolutely brilliant, and I forgive him. All that shit.
You know,
because that's just the kind of character he is.
You know, they say, like, when you have a pile of shit, look for the pony. I mean, he actually does have a pony in there sometimes.
I agree. That is so accurate. I will say this. The trailer is not particularly good by any stretch of the imagination, but... holy shit, the trailer voice guy is really bad in this trailer. It's ridiculously bad. He talks like this. It's even worse than usual.
Yeah.
It's not good at all. It's really
give the man an energy drink, huh?
What would you do so bad. If your daughter was stolen?
Kind of like that. Like, it's really not good.
The back man, of a Betty. Taxi. Would you do what it took to get her back?
If I was Nicolas Cage, yes.
I'm reading out loud because I can't do it any other way.
Oh, man. So, yes, I don't doubt that it's going to be cheesy as all hell, but it could be fun. September 21st, the movie I am most excited for this month, I think. Looking ahead, I think so.
Not the most. Pretty up there, though.
Yeah, this one is very high on my list. Dread 3D. Bring on the fucking violence.
I need to see it in a non-3D format, but otherwise, bang, I'm there.
I'm thinking it's going to be really bad, but I'm going to go anyway.
Oh, I don't know about that.
The bar
has been set by Sylvester Stallone.
It cannot go any lower.
You do not need to get far above that to make me happy.
Yes.
I mean, I did not know Carl Urban was in this until I read the credits. Like, where is Carl Urban?
He's under the mask. I know. Which he never takes off.
But I just...
Lena Headey.
Lena, yeah, I saw her. Fabulous. It's like, yes. Yeah, she kind of... Yeah.
And Olivia Thirlby, who I do like. Based on the classic comic strip.
Yeah.
Then, you know, made into a bad movie starring Sylvester Stallone, which does not have any moments. Don't even bother.
It doesn't. It is a crap movie, but it is a perfectly fine. I just need something silly to watch for an hour and a half.
I can think of other Sylvester Stallone starring perfectly crappy movies that are really perfectly crappy for killing time better than Judge Dredd, which is awful.
It had its moments.
It's so not good.
It was bad.
Yes, it was bad, but...
Oh, man.
Wasn't even bad in that certain charming trauma way that...
Yeah, cause some of his other stuff is like bad, but there's something about it that just...
We see that one hit the notch for me.
Did it? Totally.
I mean, your mileage is off, obviously varies, but
yeah. If I have to watch a bad Sylvester film, I think I'd watch Demolition Man.
Yes. High five. Mr. Friendly.
Demolition Man is awesome.
That's Mr. Friendly.
That's the one I'm going with.
I actually consider that good.
So do I. I don't think that's a bad one.
Like a handful of movies, bad,
but I still like it.
You know, like Rambo First Blood, the first one was good. Demolition Man was good. It was, for the subject matter, it was what it was.
Yeah. I think it's actually quite a good one. If you need any seller, I'll link to a review from Comic-Con that our LA correspondent did for Quiet Earth, and she says there's more violence in the opening 5 minutes than in the entire original movie. And you look at the trailer, there's a red band kicking around, which I haven't seen yet, but you look at the trailer and you certainly get the sense that there is a lot of bloodshed in this movie. It just looks badass. I'm so excited. So excited. Okay, moving on. Actually, another one I'm really looking forward to, also opening September the 11th. David Ayer is back with End of Watch. More police drama, I guess. It's not really a procedural. Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña star as partners, police officers who get themselves in trouble when they break in and when they possess or take over, find, whatever the word is, because my mind is going blank. Confiscate, thank you. A small stash of arms and drugs from a local cartel. This is not new material for David Ayer. He wrote and directed Harsh Times and Street Kings, and he's also the man responsible
Street
for Training.
Kings. Yeah, that's what I was thinking this looked like.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've seen any of his other ones, because he also wrote Harsh Times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what he's known for. I tend to like these. I've actually liked most of the movies he's made, except for maybe Street Kings, which is really not very good, even though it stars Keanu Reeves. That movie. It's not good.
It was okay. It was not.
It was nothing special.
It was like a TV movie.
It just really was. But I really liked his other stuff. This looks very much in the same vein, but the performances are enough to sell me. I like this trailer.
Again, not my kind of story, but I actually did think the trailer was well done. It looked like an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me, but I might end up watching it on video just because loyalty to secret polygamous husband number 7.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake, yeah.
Nice. I didn't know he was on your roster.
Oh, he's on the list. It's 15 strong now.
this is good. This is, we'll have to,
I seldom cut, though. So even though some of them have grown a little bit old in the tooth and kind of creepy, yeah, you just can't throw away a secret polygamous husband. That'd be wrong.
We'll need to compare.
Fidelity.
We'll need to compare lists at some point.
All right.
Also opening on the 21st, Jennifer Lawrence takes a different turn and goes into horror with House at the End of the Street. She plays the daughter to Elizabeth Shue, who moved into a house, and next door there's been some murder or something, and weird things might still be going on. I don't know. Trailer doesn't really tell you anything.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Meh. Pass.
Pretty much. Actually, my feeling is, don't really care, but it's Jennifer Lawrence, and she tends to be pretty good. I don't think I'll watch it in theaters.
Watch The Strangers instead.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. I'm sure it's a far superior movie, but certainly one that's going to grab some attention. Also on the 21st, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, written and directed by Stephen Chbosky. I'm sure I said that wrong. Based on his award-winning novel. Logan Lerman, Emma Watson, and Ezra Miller actually smiling, God forbid, star as a trio of misfits in high school. I'm not really sure what else to say. I'm not as keen on seeing this as some other people are. I didn't love the book as much as everybody else does. I thought it was okay at best. It's an interesting story about friendship and growing up, but... Emma Watson is about the only thing. Emma and actually Ezra Miller, who I really like. I would watch for those two.
Is he the dude from Misfits? I meant to look that up.
No.
No, okay.
He was in We Need to Talk About Kevin, and I'm sure he's been in some other things. Okay. He usually plays like a misfit or really sort of creepy kid.
Yeah, this is another one that had me a little bit intrigued, but not sold. It's like, I saw a bunch of interesting scenes. I have no confidence they can make an interesting movie out of it.
Taken individually, a lot of the scenes were interesting. Put them all in a trailer, I'm like, eh. It's sort of like at the pep rally where he's going, passive, aggressive, passive. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
The characters are all really interesting. I just... the book really didn't do anything for me. And I'm kind of kicking myself that I read it, because I'd probably be more interested in the movie if I didn't know how the story plays out.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one of the few instances where that's actually happened. Because the as it stands, the trailer is kind of like, well, the trailer is interesting, but I really don't care for the story.
Right.
It doesn't really do anything for me. But hopefully the performances will be enough to sell it. We'll see how it goes. Now, a couple of documentaries back to back. Also September the 21st, How to Survive a Plague. For whatever reason, I had actually sort of written this one off until I saw a trailer somewhere else for like list of upcoming documentaries that you should watch this autumn. And I was really impressed by this trailer.
Same here. I almost didn't watch the trailer. I thought, man, I know how this is going to... But it looked really interesting.
It's super compelling.
The only thing that worried me was they were definitely playing like deliberately with emotions. You know, you have the the conflict at the beginning, and then two-thirds of the way through the trailer, they break to the inspirational music, and it's like... Man, if you're overtly pulling the heartstrings that much in the trailer, danger, red flag on field for movie.
Yeah, so
but I mean, it looked like a great movie.
Yeah, so for anyone that hasn't heard about this documentary, it's about the AIDS activism in New York City in the late 80s. The trailer is totally worth watching. It's amazing. It's a really fantastic trailer. Did you watch this one, Colleen?
I did. I don't know. I'm not usually all that into documentaries. Mm-hmm. It didn't look bad, but
didn't do it really
much
for
you. It's not going to draw me in, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I was really surprised at how compelling the trailer was. Not nearly as compelling, but still sort of interesting in its own way. Diana Vreeland, The Eye Has to Travel, a documentary on Harper's fashion editor, Diana Vreeland, who was the fashion editor for, like, forever.
Really? You know... this was another complete surprise. I saw that. I want to see this movie. Like
this one,
I thought it was
or documentary.
I think it looked interesting, but she's never really been an icon for me, so I've never.
I never heard of her till I saw this trailer. I saw this trailer, and it's like I have to see this documentary.
It's certainly interesting because I mean, I think Harper's sort of stands apart from the other fashion magazines in that it was very much fashion as art, in addition to fashion as something that you wear. Which is the different approach from like 17 or any of the other magazines, Vogue. Which is,
you know,
or Vogue. Yeah. Which is about fashion that you wear and you look beautiful in. This was slightly different. It was sort of like about art, fashion as art and sort of
lifestyle.
Being yourself and lifestyle.
Well,
slightly different approach.
The thing that sold me was that little bit of, you know, she featured Streisand's nose.
Yes.
You know, and she was about imperfections and
find the flaw
that intrigued the hell out of me. And I have no idea whether that's a throwaway in the movie or a feature of the movie or documentary, but
well, I think that's
I'm curious.
Of what she was about, so I mean I think it should play fairly central to the documentary. It certainly looks interesting, but it's not one that I'm running to go out and see.
This interests me more than the gay the
activism
plague?
One
the plague one,
How to Survive Plague,
AIDS one. But, yeah, again, documentary. It takes a lot to get me interested in a documentary. I know I should probably
LARPing
be more enthusiastic
wrong.
About it. I just like stories and senseless violence. Those two things, especially when combined together, make win. Whereas documentaries just...
win.
I have to deal with real life all, you know, except for
exactly.
The 2 hours in the movie. So
yeah, that's right. That is absolutely right.
Yeah. Unless it's something high quality like like a Fistful of Quarters, it's really hard to get me interested in a doc.
Okay. That's totally fair, Val. Judgment for sure. Also opening on the 21st, War of the Buttons. Eh. Can I just say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
Meh.
I'm not even quite sure.
I'm going to give it a meh.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's from the crew that brought us The Artist, from the director of Paris 36, which is not so good, avoided at all costs. It takes place in World War II, about a village, and this woman who might be Jewish who's hiding in plain sight. There's a button war with kids.
Yeah, like the trailer, I learned more from the description.
It's totally all over
than
the
I
place.
Did from the trailer. The description I said, there's two, it's occupied France, two side-by-side villages, and the boys are having a mock war with each other. And in the background, you have the reality of World War II, and someone is hiding, a Jewish girl, and one of the boys finds out about it. So there's this, like, yeah, like you say, it's like they just didn't do a good job of kind of telling you what the real story was going to be. So it's hard to know whether it's going to be interesting or not.
Not interested.
Not interested.
Clearly there's, you know, they're contrasting the games the boys play at war with real war and a real issue. And
those don't usually work for me.
Doesn't transcribe well for me.
No, ditto. I'm sort of yawning at that one. Okay, September 28th. My birthday will be celebrated with fucking awesomeness. Can I just leave it at that? No, I can't. Ryan Johnson returns with Looper.
What the hell were you just talking about?
Looper, man. Looper, okay. Fucking awesomeness.
Oh, so I guess.
JGL. Fucking awesomeness.
So I guess your birthday's coming up in September.
September 28th. I'm celebrating with JGL.
JGL.
If you're listening, dude, I love you. I'm having a party, I'm sure. It'll be watching your movie. I'm very excited.
That's okay.
This is what I can tell you from the little I know, because I refuse to read the trailer, to read the description, and I've only seen one trailer. Time travel. JGL plays, I guess, a hitman who has to kill himself.
Who is played by Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Hence the weird face implants. Really weird. That's all I know. I refuse to see anything else. You guys can keep talking. Go for it.
JGL, again, the great big heart for JGL. I love that dude. Secret polygamous husband. And this is from the guy who made Brick.
Yes.
And I adore Brick. And yes. I watch Brick often.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking between JGL and the director of Brick, again, plus time travel. How can it truly, truly, truly suck?
It can't.
It can't. So it must ergo be at least quality.
Agreed. Are we the only ones that are excited for this?
There's math involved.
There's math involved. Time travel is a dodgy subject with me, as you may remember. I've seen it done well, and I've seen it done so horribly crappily that, and it's usually crappily. But having said that, the premise is great. So, yeah, the setup is in the future. Criminal organizations have the ability to send people to the past, where they have people waiting to kill you when you show up, and that to me was like, wow, you'd better set that up better, because that is so contrived. Like, if you have the technology to do time travel, why don't you just, you know, nuke the person on the spot? You can, like, disintegrate their body if you can do time travel. Like, why do you got to send them to the past to be killed? But anyway, beyond that, if I can get past that...
You just gave Colleen the brain aneurysm.
The idea of... They did in the trailer do a really good job of making, like, why would you kill yourself? They gave JGL a really good reason. And, okay, I'm intrigued. So I will go and see it. I have my reservations.
I totally have zero reservations at this point.
JGL, Brick. Yay.
Pretty much.
I mean, and it also looked like there's going to be some good action. So it's like, okay, I'll shut my thinking brain off and just let my, you know, dinosaur action brain enjoy the flick.
And you never know. Maybe your thinking brain will turn back on.
I sure hope I will. You know, I sure hope he's happy.
It could happen.
Maybe it'll make you think like Inception. And have JGL. See, and have time travel. Holy and Brick.
Fuck. I liked Inception.
Equals super awesome.
Me too. I agree. This has potential to be awesomeness. Also opening on the 28th, another one I'm really looking forward to.
Me too.
Hotel Transylvania. Animated fair about a young man who shows up on a hotel doorstep, except the hotel is for monsters. And he falls in love with the hotel owner's daughter, who happens to be a vampire. I think it looks cute. It looks charming. I love their 1-800 number that you can call for reservations. I have called it. It's kind of fun. It's a whole message. It's very cool. I think this looks really charming. I'm excited.
The trailer was great. The trailer sold me. I'm ready to go see it.
Yeah. This will be instead of Frankie Weenie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Let me know when there's a real action sort of version of it and not animated.
Oh, okay.
And more serious. More horror. Horror version of this, real life. Yes.
That would be actually kind of badass.
Yes, yes, yes. Screw the animation. Screw the comedy.
Great.
Just people booking into a hotel that's hosting monsters.
Well, if you've seen the trailer, it's a hotel for monsters that norms aren't supposed to come to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Real. Make it real. Because we all know zombies and werewolves and that are real. Make it real.
We just gave Eli Roth an idea for another movie.
Again, heart. What is it about the Roth boys? David Lee Roth. Hooray! Him too.
Dan would be so proud. Also opening on the 28th, Won't Back Down. I keep forgetting about this movie because it sounds like that MMA movie from a couple of years ago called Never Back Down. So whenever I see this, I'm like, is this the MMA movie? Oh, yeah, it's not. It's the one about the teachers. So this is based on a true story about a mother and a teacher who get together to sort of reform their local school. It looks very heartwarming and sweet. Maggie Gyllenhaal is in it. Viola Davis is in it. Holly Hunter is in it. Yeah.
Unless Sidney Poitier has a bat and is the principal.
You're not interested.
Yeah. Exactly. I want to see some hardcore kick-ass freaking I'll straighten out the school with my freaking baseball bat. That would be cool. Although done.
Yeah, I'd watch it on a Saturday afternoon with nothing else to do, but I'm not going to go to a theater to...
Agreed. I'm with you 110%. I think it looks interesting, and it's certainly a fascinating story. There's like a couple of documentaries very similar to this already, but I would see it. I like the actors.
Yeah, like these kinds of stories are nice, and they kind of fill a spot when I'm in the mood to need something upbeat, but... Not typically the kind of thing that I'll go to a theater to see.
Agreed. Trouble with the Curve, also opening on the 28th. This is Clint Eastwood in front of the camera. He plays a baseball recruiter who takes his daughter along. You're laughing. I'm not sure why.
Sorry, it has nothing to do with the film. I was thinking about...
thinking about empty chairs?
Empty chairs, yes.
Oh, God. Not you guys,
addressing
too.
Addressing empty chairs.
Not you guys, too.
I can't help it, man. It was weird. It was uncomfortably weird.
Well, he's not exactly spry young fox anymore.
Well, actually, Ebert had an interesting take on it. Yeah.
What was that?
Maybe we can link to it in the notes, because there's no way I can encapsulate. What
okay. We'll link
like
to it in the
Charlton
notes.
Heston at the National Rifleman's Association. You can...
Oh, yeah.
Right out of my cold dead hand.
Dead hands. You damn filthy apes.
No, I don't know.
But back to the movie. Yes.
Back to the movie. Baseball.
He plays a
scout.
Scout. Yeah, the team has brought in to try and help them, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and his daughter is grown up baseball and is there basically to manage him. And it's about the relationship between the two of them, if the trailer is to be believed.
Agreed.
And actually, I'm kind of hooked.
I'm interested.
I want to see this.
I agreed.
Relationship, sports, equals fail.
Yeah. The baseball, I'm hoping the baseball isn't a big part of it, because, yeah, I'm not big on baseball.
I actually really liked Moneyball.
Oh, Moneyball.
I'm not
a
baseball fan either.
Moneyball wasn't... I mean, baseball was pretty core, but really it wasn't as much about baseball as it was about inertia.
Yeah, I actually think this kind of falls into the same category. It's kind of about baseball, but not really.
No, it could be any sport, really. Yeah. I mean, it's and that's why I was interested in it. Like, there aren't a lot of stories, with oldsters in it, and actually, I mean, as much as
oldsters.
grumps the
you octogenarian bastards.
Yeah. As much as I haven't liked a lot of his later movies, I like that he's tackling the subject matter, like Gran Torino.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, I mean, when I
get
saw
off
it,
my
get
lawn.
Off my lawn.
When I watched it, you know, it's
we were
like,
all thinking it. It took him to say it.
I like the sentiment here. And the story had a certain appeal, but overall, I couldn't say it was like a great movie. But I mean, I'm glad he's making movies like this. It's something a little bit different.
Agreed.
And like
for sure.
And like Colleen said, it's like he actually does a pretty good cranky.
Yes, he does a very good. Yeah, a very good cranky. Also opening on the 28th, closing with a couple of documentaries. The first, The Other Dream Team. Talk about the 1992 Lithuanian basketball team. My apologies there. Who sort of found their stride with the Grateful Dead.
That angle is just hilarious.
It is. I actually don't remember this at all.
I don't either. This is the first time I've heard about mm-hmm. the story. But I mean, how could I have not heard about like tie-dye Lithuanian colored t-shirts from the Grateful Dead
because
marching
Disney
into the Olympics?
Because Disney hasn't covered it yet.
Like, sorry?
Disney hasn't covered
this
it
is
yet.
Awesome.
Much, yeah. So yeah, it kind of has that actually. That's a great tie-in because it kind of feels sort of like
underdogs. People who
But what was the Jamaican bobsledder ones?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And they kept on upping the speed limit. Trying to get rid of Jamaica out of the qualifying.
I totally love that movie. It's a good one.
Keep running, on making it. Running Cool or something?
Yes.
Cool Runnings.
Yeah. Cool Runnings, man.
Cool Runnings.
That's a funny
movie. Call it Tallulah. It sounds like a cheap port. That's my mother's name.
There's something compelling in like we are going to play our former oppressors in a sports game.
It's kind of a sort of heartwarming little docudrama, and I'm interested in seeing it. Again, not one that's going to take me out to the theater.
Right.
But it's one that I'm certainly looking forward to. And it's been kicking around. I think it's been playing sort of limited release the last little while. Cause it's not the first time that I've seen the trailer sort of pass by. And I've sort of just ignored it because whatever.
Yeah, the other
it's another
Dream
movie.
Team is, basketball.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I really did like this this trailer. I think it looks pretty good.
Out of all the docs coming out this month, if any have hope of me watching, it's probably this one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and I hate sports. So that's telling you about
unless it's Derby, then she loves it.
Derby.
It's all about Derby.
Derby or Running Man. Running Man.
Okay, Running Man is badass.
Or Death Race. But the old Death Race, not new Death Race, because that just sucks.
Agreed. And we're going to finish off with The Waiting Room, A Day in the Life of a Hospital. Dealing with largely uninsured patients. I don't really have anything to add to this other than to say that it certainly does not look like my cup of tea. I can understand why it's important to have a documentary like this. It just looks completely uninspired because it really does look like just one day and a couple of cameras in a hospital room jumping around from patient to patient.
This looks depressing without giving me any story behind the depressing.
Agreed.
I got the sense that they did have, it wasn't just all doom and gloom. It looked like there was a little bit upbeat. But yeah, having said that, it still doesn't.
It doesn't seem to have
speak
like.
Speak to me as something I want to see.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't seem to have any like one or two characters that sort of ground the story. It seems like it's just the camera running around a hospital for the day. That really seems to me, I understand why it's important, but it just seems really boring.
Mm.
Something that just doesn't interest me. And that's it for the month. Quickly, just a couple of things that are playing in Vancouver in the next couple of weeks that are totally worth mentioning. The Cinematheque is running the Vancouver Latin American Film Festival. That goes through until September the 9th. So that's worth checking out. The Van City. Lots of good stuff coming to Van City. Fritz Lang's M is the cinema salon for this month. That's on September 3rd. Iron Sky.
Yes.
The Nazis on the Moon finally land in Vancouver. It's playing for four nights, September 7th and 8th, and then the 22nd and 23rd. And Spark Animation Festival runs September 12th to the 16th. And they're an animated film festival kind of thing that's tied into the local SIGGRAPH chapter. And they're showing Rango, The Short Toys in the Attic, and A Cat in Paris, which was one of the Oscar-nominated animated films from last year.
Are they bringing in people that worked on the movie as part of that?
Yeah. For some of them, for some of the talks, they include animators, and they have some stuff on Paranorman as well, though they're not showing the movie because it's still playing theatrically.
Right.
But yeah, they have a whole lineup. We'll link to the Van City website that has way more details on that. And at the Fifth Avenue, Farewell My Queen, the Marie Antoinette sort of lesbian overtone French film that played the festival circuit earlier in the year. And that's kind of it.
All right.
Yep.
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 And of course, VIFF.
VIFF.
Oh, I kind of forgot about that. Sorry.
You know what? I've not even looked at the website. I honestly don't even know when it is, although I'll have to look.
September 27th to October 12th.
Because I need that schedule to be out, because I need to book off time. I've told her vaguely I need end of September, beginning of October off. I need to know what I'm watching so I can book days off accordingly, but no, and then tickets go on sale before even that comes out, and it's dumb.
Agreed. It is kind of stupid.
Any word if the shorts are coming back? The little trailers before the films? Because I miss those.
I'm not sure, because I think last year they did a movie that was shown out of order. Was that the year before?
Last year there was nothing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're coming back or not. I guess it depends on how much money they have.
Yeah, because that was always the best part of the entire festival. Was the creativity in those little 15-second shorts was so good.
And that actually, those are the few that I don't mind rewatching.
Exactly. Yeah. I watched some of them like 10, 11 times in a row. I didn't mind.
Agreed.
Yeah.
No word yet on whether those are coming back or not. We probably won't find out until the festival actually starts.
Don't. And I just want to, because I showed you earlier, I have to share with the rest of the world my new find, Triangle People.
Oh, God. Marshmallow? The
Triangle Marshmallows, man, on YouTube. Single most stupid thing I've seen in a long time.
But I laughed really hard.
I know. You didn't. We never come up with ideas on the otter.
Did you see my comment in Twitter? You never responded, so I wasn't sure.
No, I almost never am on Twitter at all.
Oh, you don't.
I go months on end without going on it now.
You don't get the emails?
I do, but then I don't actually necessarily see what you're referring to. I just get like a word or two.
Yeah. 150 trauma movies have been made available for free on YouTube.
I did see that, but I can't use them on my phone. Apparently it blocks mobile. Damn it.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so I'm all excited about that because there's some seriously awesome titles
Toxic
in there.
Toxic Adventure is included, yeah.
That's probably the only one I'll watch.
Wow.
That's probably the only one I'll watch.
Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD?
No.
It's a classic.
I'm not sure if that's in there or not.
Oh, it should be, man, because that one's...
I don't know.
That's Toma, the shiznit.
Toma and I don't really play nice together.
Romeo
and Juliet. Yeah.
I don't know. Just that style of over the top filmmaking.
Deliberate cheesy crap just appeals to me no end.
Yeah, I must admit, there's like one in a very large number that I think is like really successful. The rest are just kind of silly dumb. Which worked when, you know, you're watching them when lots of alcohol is involved. But.
Sergeant Kabuki Man, look it up, find it, watch it, and be inspired by Kabuki.
I don't think so. But, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about Toxic Avenger. It's one that actually has fairly decent
reviews. I know, it's funny.
So it's one I want to watch because I have never filled that sort of empty hole, gaping hole in my back watch.
It's like trauma's like mascot, Toxie the Avenger.
Yes.
See?
But I'd forgotten about Toxie,
man.
Oh, God. But yeah, I really have zero interest in any of the rest.
You know how when you went to the video store and they always had a deal if you got three?
Yes.
Number three was almost always a trauma pick. Just, you know, I might fast forward a lot, but you know, it's my third video. I'm practically getting it for free, so that's okay.
It was free. It was free. It was three. Get three. Get one free. We'll be back in probably a couple of weeks with a VIFF preview.
Hooray!
Yes, hooray indeed. Hopefully, by that point, we'll have most of the schedule out and we can actually take a look and
VIFF and WIFF. Happiest time of the year.
Oh my God! I already have I've already received emails about a 15-week countdown to the Whistler Film Festival.
Yes, yes.
I fell off my chair. I'm like, I haven't done VIF yet. Please stop harassing me.
No.
I love the festival, please.
To be honest, I think I like WIF more than I do VIF, simply because I'm there. That's what I'm there for.
That is,
there's no commute. Well, the commute is me walking down the mountain.
Yeah.
Which is not the same as me getting on a SkyTrain.
For most of you who may have inferred Vancouver International Film Festival, WIF is the Whistler International Film Festival. And
it's actually just Whistler Film Festival.
Oh, just Whistler Film Festival. Yeah. Okay.
Acronym is WIF.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when you pronounce it, WIF.
And yeah, that it's far enough from Vancouver you don't want to drive there each day. And Whistler being a tourist town and it being in December, the thing, it's a little bit expensive. But if you can get enough people in a room and you can actually stay there, it's a lot of fun because it's all in the village.
You know what, though? For Whistler, the rates right at like about the first week of December, it is dirt cheap for
still
Whistler
good.
Up there
because
no one's up there.
No one's up there, yeah.
You witnessed last
year. Tell them.
What? Come up and watch.
Except the Australians.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you have to be Australian or New Zealand to work there, don't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
This is a non-residency permit.
I think so. It's pretty funny. It's actually really interesting because I was reading a blog entry from Peter Serretta, who runs Slash Film, and he was explaining why they go to Telluride every year. Because Telluride is the same thing. It's like a ski town in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. You have to either fly in or drive in from like an hour outside of town. And you stay at the ski resort and you take the gondola into town every day for the movies. And they don't announce the schedule until like the day before it starts. And to boot, they don't comp press passes. So if you want to go, you got to pay your own way.
Nice.
And it's expensive. It's like $780 for a pass.
Wow.
Yeah, like this is like expensive, but it's the same thing, right? It's the residents, which means a bunch of rich people that have money to burn, or tourists that happen to be there for skiing, though at this time of year, there's no skiing there yet.
No.
So, I mean, it's basically just the locals and the people that come in. And that's kind of what Whistler is like, right? Because you go into any of the screenings, very rarely does a screening sell out. You can pretty much walk in 5 minutes before a movie starts and get a seat. And I mean, it's small and intimate enough that you can be walking next to a director or a movie star or stay in the same hotel as them. Right. And I mean, it's just a completely different atmosphere for movies.
Yeah. Who was it at that one film that was sitting right in front of you? Carl
Basai. I had a total fangirl moment.
I know. It's like, are you going to get in the vapors?
Yeah. And there was, I mean, there was one year where I was seeing the guy that plays Captain Pike in the new Star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's his name? The Canadian actor whose name
Greenwood.
Yeah. Peter?
Bruce
Greenwood.
Yeah.
He was there with like an entire entourage of people. And I'm like, oh my God, it's the captain. And Dan's like, who is that? I'm like, the guy from Star Trek.
I love this.
WIF is, it's a great festival. It's movie people, basically. It's either movie lovers and the people that go up there to watch movies. That's
scenery,
about it.
Scenery, film, not crowded.
Just lots of alcohol.
Lots of
hot tubs outside.
Zod. Swim every day.
Zod. Yeah, it's you can't go wrong. So it's definitely a fun festival. We really enjoy it. And that's our plug for the Whistler Film Festival.
Dun dun dun.
God, we wish we'd been paid for that or something.
I know, hey. Totally agree. But it's fun to go. It's a fun festival. But before we get to WIF, we're gonna do VIF.
All right,
And that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So yeah, we'll be back with the Vancouver Film Festival preview. And I think that's it for today, right?
I think so.
We'll wrap her up. We'll keep us short and simple. Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.